Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the second episode of Diplomatically Speaking With. My name is Aim Bin Wazani, and I will be the host of Diplomatically Speaking With. As you know, DSW, which is Diplomatically Speaking With, is a series of interviews with the diplomatic corps in Malaysia. For each DSW, we'll be talking about the history, context, and opportunities of bilateral relations between foreign nations and Malaysia. DSW is brought to you by KSI Strategic Institute for Asia Pacific, a top-ranked public policy think tank based in Malaysia. I am the Director of External Relations for KSI, and KSI, being an independent think tank, has a vision, and the vision is to build better nations for Asia Pacific, and we are the leading curator of impactful and innovative conferences and forums. Today, ladies and gentlemen, I am super duper excited to have the second ambassador that we're interviewing today, which is we're diplomatically speaking with the Ambassador of France to Malaysia, His Excellency Roland Galharok, on everything France-Malaysia relations. At the time of this recording, we are celebrating the French National Day. So I'd like to take this opportunity to wish you, sir, and all the French citizens in Malaysia, Bonne Fête Nationale, Happy National Day. How are you, Your Excellency?
Well, first of all, let me thank you for having me, and thank you, obviously, for your greetings and best wishes for the Fête Nationale. I'm very well. I'm very happy to be here and ready to talk to you about whatever you wish me to talk about. Thank you for having me.
No worries. Thank you so much, sir. Let me kick off the session with a very easy question. Tell us more about your background and your appointment as Ambassador of France to Malaysia.
What can I tell you? I'm a professional diplomat. I'm a career diplomat, like most French ambassadors, actually, like the overwhelming majority of French ambassadors. We do not have this political appointment system so much as other nations do. I've had the luck to serve in many countries, in the US, in the UK, in South Africa, in Hungary, in the Czech Republic. This is my third appointment as an ambassador in Malaysia. I was appointed by the president last year and came here in October, and then presented my credentials to the AGOM in December. I must stress perhaps that Malaysia was on my wish list. It was one of the countries to which I was wanting to come. So altogether, I'm a very happy man whose wish has been granted.
Wow, that is so interesting, Ambassador. Just on that question. But before I get to the question, how many languages can you speak, sir?
None well, except my own at the best of times. But otherwise, yes, I try not to butcher them so much. But.
When I was watching the video that you gave for the National Day, your English is impeccable, sir. Now, on the wish list that you mentioned about Malaysia being on that list, why Malaysia?
Well, you know, first of all, I was attracted to this region to this country in particular, because I think the history is so complex. It's so varied, of course, because of the strategic location that Malaysia has. It is a country which has fashioned itself, so to speak, through the contacts it has had with different civilizations. It was, of course, the Indian civilization, the Arabic and Muslim civilization, the Western European civilization. So it, in itself, I find this extremely interesting. Plus, of course, it's one of the countries with one of the biggest potential. It is located in the region Southeast Asia, which is one with the biggest growth potential in the world. You have essentially Latin America, and then you have Southeast Asia. Also a region, a location, which is confronted with some of the most important challenges that are common to the whole of humanity. I mean, climate change, biodiversity. Malaysia is a mega diverse country. It is a maritime country by essence, so the issues about ocean preservation, etc., are key. A country which is, of course, located exactly at the crossroad of continental Asia and peninsular Asia, exactly on the line of divide between the Indian Ocean and the Pacific Ocean. A lot of potential, an interesting history, huge challenges, plus the relationship, and I suppose we will talk about this later, but the relationship between France and Malaysia is not limited to this or that single issue. It has a very broad scope. So altogether, if you are in my line of work, you want your appointment to be substantial enough, and this was clearly the case. So that's why.
Very interesting, and you know, I think it is interesting when you mentioned this, because I think for many Malaysians that are listening to this, we take this as a given that, oh, you know, Malaysia is just a small country, but you're absolutely right. We are at the crossroads of different civilizations, a strategic location as well. We are between, in many ways, the maritime route, you know, east and west. It is a very interesting country, interesting location. I wanna ask you in terms of, you know, when you were appointed, and you know, up until now, you're recently appointed, what have been your top three priorities as the ambassador of France to Malaysia?
It's not necessarily a very easy question, because of course this is a job in which you sort of hit the ground running, as they say. So the minute you arrive, you know, you have a zillion things to do, and days go in and out, and you know, the things happen that you have to handle, etc. But let me try and answer your question nonetheless. I would say perhaps three things. One, we have, I think, excellent relations with Malaysia, but I would like to bring them to the next level. And by the next level, I mean that, of course, we have lots of common interests or converging interests. We have differences, of course, but we have converging interests. We have, on many issues, similar outlooks. But we have not perhaps reached the point where each country becomes a habit for the other country. So by habit, I mean, for instance, you know, if Malaysia is thinking about what is happening in the EU, then I would like Malaysia to think, oh, we need to sort this out with the EU. Why not call France? Let's call France. And vice versa, right? If in France people are wondering about what is happening in Asia, Southeast Asia, whatever, I would like people in Paris to think, hey, let's talk to the Malaysians, as a sort of reflex, you know, as a sort of a habit, really. So this, if I could not necessarily achieve this, but if I could perhaps bring this a bit forward, I would be extremely, extremely happy. That's one thing. Second, the economy. It's a very important economic relationship that exists between Malaysia and France. But of course, in the field of the economy, there's always a room for improvement. And there, I think, I would like to achieve some form of both qualitative and quantitative improvement. Quantitative in the sense that we can do more. We can have more trade, we can have more investments, etc. But qualitative in the sense that there is a bit of an imbalance, that there's a substantial level of French investment in Malaysia, but the level of Malaysian investment in France is only half of that, roughly. So I would like perhaps to attract more Malaysian businesses to invest in France. That would be quite something. And finally, of course, there is the issue of the relationships between people, because of course what is important is not just, you know, relations between states, but also people to people, understanding, knowledge, etc. And there again, obviously there's a great distance, a geographical distance, also sometimes a historical distance. We've had very different histories, sometimes a cultural distance, had of course different shaping influences, etc. So I would like to be able to also bring people closer, not just institutions and governments. So if I were able to do this, I would be very happy.
Excellent point. You mentioned sort of two key points. Strategic point, wanting Malaysia to call France regarding European or EU issues, and vice versa, France to call Malaysia regarding ASEAN, Southeast Asian issues. And the second major pillar was economic interest. You want more investment from Malaysia into France. Excellent points, Your Ambassador. Your Excellency. Excellency, you know, I want to hug back to the point you mentioned earlier, which I think was interesting. You mentioned that relationship between France and Malaysia is not just about trade. It's not just about cultural. It's not just about educational. It's broad-based. It's substantial and comprehensive. Before we dive into that, because I think that is super important in our conversation, what is sort of the history that we should know about the France-Malaysia relations?
Well, it's a history which is as old as Malaysia, or as young as Malaysia, depending how you want to look at it. It started immediately after independence. We were among the first nations to recognize the independence of Malaysia for, I think, a variety of reasons at the time. One, because we felt we were among the initiators of decolonization. Second, because we were quite familiar with the region, etc. And it has been growing ever since we did in 1957. The embassy was established in 1957. We opened quite soon after. We opened the first cultural outlets, the Alliance Française, French alliances, two of them. And then there was a Chamber of Commerce was established 30 years ago now. The French businesses started to come here, etc., etc. So it's and also we have had some common experiences. For instance, during the wars in Yugoslavia, there was a former Yugoslavia, in Bosnia. There was a time when there was a very active Malaysian contingent in the United Nations forces, UNPROFOR, and we were there too. So we have had some common experience on the ground, as it were. So it's a very diversified relationship. There have been a number of high-level visits both ways. I think we've had, if I'm not mistaken, three or four presidential visits to Malaysia, and vice versa, the equivalent of prime ministerial visits to France. But of course, the history between the two countries or the two regions has started much earlier. It goes much deeper than just 1957. And actually, there has always been some form of relationship between that part of the world, whether it was Malaya or whether it was called something else before, and what was not called the French Republic at the time. So we've had travelers come to Malaysia as early as the 16th century, writing up descriptions of Malaysia. We've had explorers. Some of the first maps of Malaysia ever have been put together by French geographers. And then in the 19th century, we've also had planters. Did you know, for instance, that quintessential Malaysian product, palm oil, was introduced by a Frenchman to Malaysia. The cultivation was introduced from Western Africa to Malaysia by a Frenchman called Henri Fauconnier, who was in his time quite famous. Did you know that the I Am brand that you can buy from the from your supermarket was established by a Frenchman in 1892? So there has been, and of course, teachers, schools established by essentially religious orders in Malaysia had been there in the 19th century. So of course, the history goes much deeper than you know 1957. We were among the first in Europe, I think, to open a professorship where Malay, the Malay language, was taught in the 1840s. For the first time in Paris, they started to study Malay. We translated the Sejarah Melayu into French. Our poets in the 1840s were inspired by pantuns. They called them pantum, not pantum, because there was a misprint in the translation. So it goes a very long way. We go a very long way together.
Wow, it's so interesting. I think the one of the things I think was interesting was about, so palm oil was interesting. I Am brand was interesting as well, 1982 by a Frenchman named Alfred Clouet, right? If I'm not mistaken. Interesting about Sejarah Melayu being translated to French and also the professorship to teach Malay. Whenever we ask questions to different countries, we are always impressed with the level of engagement that goes beyond formal bilateral state-to-state relations, because the engagement between people goes in the hundreds of years. And I think that's something that both countries can always appreciate, knowing that the countries don't just, it doesn't start just from 1957, but you know, for many, many, many hundred years ago. You mentioned in one of the points about trade, and I wanna get into this. So Malaysia is France's second largest market in ASEAN. There's high level of trade between both countries. Can you tell us more about trade and economic relations between France and Malaysia?
Yes, of course. Trade, as I must say, suffered a bit from the impact of COVID. To be honest, normally the turnover is around anywhere between 4 and 5 billion euros per year. It's big, but it could be bigger. Honestly, the country where I was posted before has 10 million inhabitants. It was the Czech Republic, and our turnover is something around 15 billion euros per year. So Malaysia is three times bigger than the Czech Republic. The trade is only one third of the trade we have with the Czech Republic. Of course, the big difference is that the Czech Republic is in the EU. So you may say it's domestic trade. In fact, it's not foreign trade. So anyway, so it could be bigger. We have an interesting fact between Malaysia and France, which is not specific to this relation, but our statistics do not agree. Malaysian statistics think that Malaysia has a deficit with France, and French statistics think that France has a deficit with Malaysia. It can't be both, obviously. One of the issues is that statistically, customs are not able to follow through. For instance, Malaysian customs, once goods are sent to Rotterdam in the Netherlands to go into the EU, then they don't know where they're going. So they are accounted for as exports to the Netherlands, but they're not going to the Netherlands. They're going to the EU, transiting through Rotterdam. And the same is true with French customs. Once goods are being sent to, say, Singapore, okay, they've been exported to Singapore, even if, which happens quite a lot, goods are then transferred from Singapore into Malaysia. So altogether, I think we are the second largest trade partner for Malaysia in the EU after Germany. we export essentially finished products, electronics, electricity products, various components, etc. And we import also a lot of electronic components, some of them manufactured by French companies in Malaysia. So trade is always a very big, complicated thing. But altogether, no, it's a very important relationship. We have over 300, anywhere between 300 and 500 French companies which have invested in Malaysia. Altogether, something around 10,000 perhaps jobs which are accounted for by French companies in really all sectors, automotive, airspace, aeronautics, energy, really all the sectors, really. So very diversified, could be better, could be more, but I would say rather healthy.
It's so interesting that you mentioned that, because I think sometimes Malaysians don't see the presence of French in any other country for that matter. You know, I my previous job, I work extensively with Air Liquide. So I was in government and I work closely with Air Liquide and they invested. They have an innovation center in Malaysia, which acts as the Southeast Asian innovation hub. And they do a lot of good work in the country. So it's very interesting when you talk about the strong trade relations between the two countries, which sometimes seems invisible to the people outside of the business community. But this is why we do this podcast. This is why we do this interview, right? So people know. I want to jump, and I think, you know, when we have more time, we can go back to the economic side. But I want to jump to the educational and cultural cooperation. Because I think one thing that France has done well in Malaysia is the fact that, you know, you have so many programs. You have the French Festival, the Malaysia France University Center, MFUC, Alliance Francaise in Penang, in KL. There's so many things that's happening. Even when you do the French National Day, discounts on French food, French movies, you know, there's so much interesting things that are being done. Can you elaborate further on the educational and the cultural cooperation from your viewpoint?
Yes, you're right. This is a very important dimension to our relations. Also, because it goes to this field of bringing people together, I think. And we really think that culture and education are absolutely key. In the country where I was previously, they have a saying. They say, the more foreign languages you know, the more you are human, the more you're a man or a woman, the more you are human. And I think Malaysians are very well placed to understand this, because actually most Malaysians speak at least 2, 3, sometimes more, 4, 5 languages. So Malaysians are very humans. They are more humans than people that have only one language. And so we are trying to bring our language to this country because we think, of course, it's our job, but also because it's a language which opens doors, in the sense that, you know, if you are at the UN, it's one of the working languages, it's one of the two languages used inside the EU, and it's a language whose speakers are actually rising in numbers. So we think it's about 300 million at present, if you look at the, I think, worldwide. So something like the fourth or fifth most spoken language. So Malaysia being a trading nation, we think that knowing French is actually an advantage. And we're quite happy that now roughly 15,000 pupils are learning French in Malaysia, which is big, which is good. We are training Malaysian teachers of French every year. So there's a bunch of 45 of them who have just departed to spend some time in France just 2 weeks ago. And we're also training a number of Malaysian students to the tune of roughly 900 per year. This is a program which is partly funded by MARA, Mostly they go to France to specialize in various fields of engineering. So this also, I think, is a useful contribution to upgrading the Malaysian economy. The more engineers you have, the more you're able to bring some innovation, being more creative, etc. And culture, you mentioned the film festivals, books, etc. Yes, this is part of who we are. It's also a business. We think that, and Malaysia is also well placed to know this, we think that this is a business that we had, that we have to foster and to defend, because it's about the ability of our world, worldwide, to stay diverse. So the more we have films, Malaysian movies, Malaysian content, if you want to speak the language of this industry, the more you have language content in Malaysian or in France or in French or in whatever other language, the better we are. And this is part of what we do. So we are very attached to that dimension of our relationships.
And you know, building on that point that you mentioned about people-to-people relations, in your opinion, what is the perception of French people towards Malaysia, if they think of us?
Well, I think they do. If I judge by the figures of tourism prior to COVID, there was a steady increase in the number of French tourists coming to Malaysia. So before the country was hit by COVID, there were roughly 180,000 French tourists in Malaysia per year, which is quite big, actually. And I think the image is a land of diversity, a land where coexistence among different groups, different civilizations, different religions, different languages is harmonious. And I think that this is something that French people normally quite like. And I think there's an element of truth to the motto that Malaysia uses to promote its image. Truly Asia, yes, truly Asia, indeed. And then, of course, there is all the rest, i.e. the notion that this is a reliable country, a country which has grown a lot, a successful success story, if you will. But I wouldn't be honest if I didn't tell you that I think still there is an effort to be made at promoting Malaysia in Europe and in France, and I mean, in Europe generally. If you look at other countries in the region, they have had massive promotion campaigns. And I think that this is something that Malaysia may be inspired by.
Interesting. And you know, it's interesting. I had the chance last year, before COVID, the year before last year, to visit France. I went to Strasbourg. It was amazing to see the way, you know, the way French people celebrated Christmas at the time, and I thought it was so interesting because you know, thinking about how you know, when French people think about Malaysia as a land of diversity, it's the same in France as well, right? It may not be, you know, the language or the people, but the way the different provinces in France are also diverse from each other, and I thought that was very interesting. You know, the same can be said about Malaysia, but you know, when people think about France, it's not monolithic. There's a lot of diversity that in the country as well. Paris is different from the south of France and vice versa. I said, you know, we I just noticed at the time, you know, I can't believe it's already been more than half an hour since we started this interview. You know, we don't have much time left, but I want to ask you some questions that I really need to ask. So we've talking about educational, cultural, economic relations. Is there anything else that we are missing? And is there anything, or any forms of cooperations, whether it's democracy, human rights, climate change, that France and Malaysia are working on? And maybe can you elaborate on those?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, I mean, if I were to qualify the relationship between France and Malaysia. I would say it's strategic. We view Malaysia as a strategic partner. And when I say strategic, it really means two things. It means one, that the relationship is absolutely across the board. So it's not only trade, it's not only business, not only culture, not only education, but also, you know, foreign affairs, the challenges which are common to all of us, to humanity, climate change, biodiversity, ocean preservation, but also, you know, really strategic in the proper sense of the word, managing the imbalances, managing the power relationships among and between foreign powers, etc. So we have put together in France what we call an Indo-Pacific strategy. An Indo-Pacific strategy is something that is bound to include Malaysia, and for which Malaysia is bound to be a partner. As we were saying, this is a strategic region. Half of the trade with the EU goes through this region and the Malacca Straits. So I think France and Malaysia, both trading nations, have a common interest in making sure that this vast space, which stretches from the eastern coast of Africa to the western shores of America, remains peaceful, remains inclusive, and remains open to all. So the last thing we want to see in this space is confrontation. We are not about militarizing this space, but to prevent this, we must cooperate together. And it means also to cooperate militarily, to prevent the militarization of this space. This is exactly what we're doing. This is one aspect, but of course there are many others. For instance, I think that climate change is of the essence to Malaysia. 75% of Malaysia is close to coastlines. So climate change has a direct impact on the country, as it has on ours. So this is one thing that we must work together on. The same with biodiversity. I mean, you don't need to to go very far to be aware or cognizant of the impacts of, you know, climate change, the disappearance of some species in Malaysia, hence a change in the food chain, hence a change in the ability of agriculture to fulfill its missions, etc., etc. Those are challenges that we think Malaysia is very well placed to address together with us, and there are very strong incentives to strengthen our cooperation. So I would say that, to come back to perhaps one of the initial thoughts that I had at the start of this conversation, I would say that Malaysia has the potential to offer additional options to France and the EU, and vice versa. I'm absolutely convinced that France and the EU have the potential to offer Malaysia with additional options. In other words, with more autonomy of decision, more freedom, more room for maneuver, which is why I think it's so key. And so it's France and Malaysia, but it's also because the policy and the politics of France are so ingrained and so enmeshed and intertwined with the EU. It's also about the EU and ASEAN and France and Malaysia.
There's a very apt point you mentioned about, in essence, strategic autonomy. You know, the France is enmeshed in EU and so is Malaysia in ASEAN. And I think that strategic partnership is not just about trade, it's not just about cultural cooperation, but it's about how can both Malaysia and France work closely in the context or against the backdrop of the great power relations between, you know, the China and America. Sometimes their involvement sometimes can cause disruptions in the region. If you look at the South China Sea and South China Sea and the region. Ambassador, you know, we are almost reaching the mark for the for this interview. I want to ask you about, so this is the for the people listening, the audience comprising of policymakers, young people, and also business community. What is your call to action for them if they want to further explore or further understand, you know, opportunities in the Malaysia-France relations? What do you think is the call to action for them to further explore? What is your take?
Call me. Call me.
I love that. Call you.
You want to know about France? You want to deal with France? You have a project with France? That's what I'm here for. Just call me.
Excellent. I love that. So when you say call you, is that a WhatsApp? Is that a phone call? Is it email to the embassy? What would be the best way to reach?
We have quite a presence on the social networks. We have a Twitter account, France in Malaysia. We have an Instagram account. We have a website. You can use any of those. Also, we have, of course, a physical presence at the Intermark. Now, of course, like everybody else, it's a bit of a problem at times to operate. But I'm doing this interview from my office. I'm about the only one in the office, once we are done with this pandemic, as I'm sure we will, I hope soon. But even before, you can use any avenue to get in touch with us, and we're always happy to help and to answer to questions, and more importantly, to take France-Malaysia relationship one step further.
Thank you so much, Ambassador. You heard it from the ambassador himself. If you're interested to explore further, call him. And when we say call, I think there's sort of four avenues to do so. The first is the website, my.ambafrance.org. So my is ambafrance.org. Second is the Facebook account at France in Malaysia. If you type that in Facebook, it'll come out. Instagram is the same, at France in Malaysia, and Twitter is FR in Malaysia. So these are the four channels that I think you should definitely check out. I personally enjoy reading the social media. There's so many updates, and I think you can learn so much from France. Ambassador, thank you so much for your time.
Sure.
And we hope to do part two with you soon and deep dive into any one of these areas, because I think the conversation was so enriching and so insightful. So thank you so much, sir.
Thank you very much. My pleasure to be with you. Bye-bye.